You know we love having our first-time guest. He's the fine sports journal for the legendary Boston Globe. His podcast, part of the Believe Network, the Patriots Report, with another Jersey guy, former receiver Chris Hogan. Check out his work online, bostonglobe.com. On Twitter, it's at @CPriceGlobe. Chris Price, great having you. How's life back there in Beantown?
Well, it's doing well, especially when your team upsets a team with a legitimate Super Bowl chances in the opener, starting the season 1-0, when I don't think that many people outside the six-state region in New England gave much of a shot. So they're feeling pretty good today here in New England. How you doing?
We're doing great. Pats, of course, hosting Seattle. But, hey, I've got to ask about the Celtics. We've got one of our all-time favorite Ducks, Peyton Pritchard, the only guy to play all 82 games. Now, all of a sudden, he's Mr. Buzzer Beater, embraces his role as a bench guy. You know, maybe the Danny Ainge of this generation. Chris, how much do the Boston faithful like our Pritch?
Well, if he can play third base for the Red Sox, I think he might be able to hit that Danny Ainge level one day. So, yeah, I think you hit it perfectly there, man. I think that what he was able to do over the course of the last couple of years in New England is become a perfect bench guy. And one of the things that really sets this team apart, this Celtics team apart, in my opinion, is that their bench is so strong. That they go 8, 9, 10 deep, and Pritchard became such an integral part of that rotation, especially last year. You know that he kind of got the rep as the buzzer beater guy, but he brings some depth to that backcourt, some much needed depth to that backcourt. He's certainly not the first or the second guy you think of when you think of this team, but his contributions. It's awful tough to replicate the work of a guy like that, a guy who knows exactly who he is. He's an important part of the rotation. He acknowledges that, he's not necessarily going to steal minutes away from a guy like Derek White or Jrue Holiday, but he fits that, role perfectly, man. And you need guys like that if you're going to be a championship team. So, yeah, he has he's got it, man. He's got it. He's been a perfect fit for the Celtics team.
So, Bill Miller, too old to go back and play third for the Bo Sox?
yeah, Bill Miller. The days of Bill Miller are over. Although, as we sit here and talk about this, the one positional player I think that the Red Sox are fairly comfortable with is probably Rafael Devers. So let's maybe move Pritchard over to second base. How about that? We can slot him in there at second, and I think we'll feel pretty good about the lineup moving forward.
Well, I'm obviously a masochist because a Yankee fan even bringing up 2004. I have no idea what's wrong with me. I don't know if Brad Stevens gets enough credit because, he leaves the bench when Ainge left. And I don't have to tell you, but for the listeners, with Tatum, JB, Holiday, White, Pritchard, Hauser, I mean, these guys are all locked up for years to come. Looks like maybe Zinger's not. Fair to say, this guy has put down an incredible foundation to keep this team a force moving forward.
Maybe the most underrated Boston, and I'm putting him a quote fingers here because he's not really the GM, but for purpose of this conversation, we'll call him the GM. Maybe the most underrated Boston GM of the last 30, 40, 50 years, the way he's been able to put this team together. I think, a lot of when you talk about his legacy, his ultimate legacy, it's still going to play out if they bring home multiple championships. But for a guy who was coaching at Butler, coaching, not a GM, but was coaching at Butler, like a decade ago, to move from coaching at Butler to coaching the Celtics to moving into a GM role. And look, you got to give a little – you do have to give credit to Ainge for being able to draft and develop some of these guys and, get them in a position. But, you still got to make the right moves. And Brad Stevens has made all the right moves since taking over. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, I think he's one of the more underrated GMs in Boston sports history.
Yeah, as somebody old enough to have been at the Madison Square Garden the last time the Knicks won it, I always say I have painful admiration for what the Celtics have done.
There you go. I like that.
So to the Patriots, you know, I was thinking about the guy Phil Bengston who followed Lombardi, or right now Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. Now Jerod Mayo steps in for Bill Belichick. Being as wired in as you are, Chris, how would you describe the feel among the fans as far as, is this the right guy to kind of start the climb back to contention?
I think it's surreal for all of us, media included. You know, even now after the first game of the regular season, because I mean, look, man, I started covering the team in Belichick's second year. And so this is all that people have known, like the whole generation. That's all they've known of the New England Patriots is Bill Belichick and obviously Tom Brady and, you know, the on and on and on and on and on. But it's still very strange to walk into a press conference and not see the hoodie at the front of the room. And so, it's taken some time to get used to. And I think that there's still some ill will toward the ownership for quote-unquote forcing Bill out. But at the same time, it's a new era. It's a new generation of talent. It was time to kind of turn things over a little bit. And so far, look, they're one game into the regular season, but so far it's gone relatively well. I think the expectations are modest, even with the win in the opener against the Bengals. I think this is still maybe a 5 or a 6 win team. Ultimately, they don't have any Super Bowl aspirations, any playoff aspirations this year. I think really for me, it's all about, it's like turning around an oil tanker, Steve. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time, and they're headed in the right direction. We talked about Brad Stevens and his, you know, the Danny Ainge's ability to, the deal that they always kind of go back to around here is when they traded TG and Paul Pierce to the Nets, and they got a ton of draft picks back in return. Well, what they're in now, they're in the asset acquisition business in terms of futures. That's what the Matthew Judon trade was about. They're, you know, they turned Matthew Judon into a top 100 pick. They have 4 picks in the top 100 moving forward. The focus is about competing for a championship in 2025 and beyond. So I think it's strange not to have Belichick here, but it was time for a new era of Patriots football.
I like the oil tanker connection there. Of course, the key is don't turn it into the Exxon Valdez.
Exactly. Yes. It's spot on. We can tell you, we can say a cruise ship. You know, a cruise ship, and it doesn't turn into the Titanic. You know, you stay away from the icebergs.
Right. Talking with Christopher Price, host of the Patriots Report podcast, and he's with the Boston Globe. Regardless who the quarterback is, a lot will start up front, and I was looking, David Andrews back at center, Vidarian Lowe had some injuries, they've got the second-year guy, City So at guard, a rookie at right guard. What's the kind of the status or the level of optimism that this group could keep whoever is there, May or Brissett, in one piece and be able to run the ball a little bit?
Well, I think that one of the reasons that Drake May is not playing right now is the state of the offensive line. I think Drake May really, over the course of the summer, if you just look at the performances in a vacuum, outplayed Jacoby Brissett. But I don't think they have the infrastructure that's in place now needed to support a rookie quarterback. And so you have a guy like Brissett who's a little more savvy, who, you know, knows it's kind of adept at dodging the slings and arrows that come with starting behind an occasionally leaky offensive line. We saw that in the season opener against the Bengals. His extraordinary pocket presence, I think, saved him on a number of occasions. But really, the offensive line is still a work in progress. Look, you know, Okorafor was the starting left tackle, and Lowe came in. You know, he was really pretty bad over the course of the first 10 to 12 snaps on Sunday. Lowe came in and kind of, you know, finish the job. And so, you know, they feel like they might have the answer there. Michael Wenyu is a really good right tackle. David Andrews, pretty good center. The interior of the line was pretty good, but that left tackle position is still a major question mark moving forward. I think that if Lowe can put together another couple of strong performances, he could end up seizing the job. But right now, it's still a little bit uncertain, particularly in that side of the offensive line.
And as far as the arsenal at the disposal of the quarterback, I mean, a lot of new faces. Mike Gesicki's gone, Devontae Parker, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kendrick Bourne is hurt. They drafted a guy we're familiar with out here in Pac-12 country, Jalen Polk. So for folks just getting caught up, who are the targets as this new season gets rolling?
it's anyone who can get open at this point, not to put too fine a point on it. You don't really have a typical X receiver. Look, I'll put it in baseball terms for you. You don't have a number one starter, but they have a number, you know, they have a bunch of number twos and threes. They have a bunch of good complementary receivers. Pop Douglas is probably the closest thing to a number one receiver that they have coming into this season. Although he's undersized, he's 5 foot nothing and is kind of like a, you know, at his best, he's kind of a Dollar General version of Tyreek Hill. So, you know, they can move him around a little bit. He has great short area quickness. You know, he can put together some really good yards after the catch, but it's a handful of guys. Look, you know, they're going to rely a lot on Polk and, you know, another rookie, Javon Baker. They kind of hope that Bourne is going to come back sooner rather than later. He's on the PUP list right now. So they're going to kind of have to figure out the passing game. While they're figuring out the passing game, it's good that they have a guy like Ramondre Stevenson who put up 125 yards the other day against the Bengals. So, you know, when in doubt, you want to go to that running game, and they were able to really make some big gains that way. But yeah, look, at this point, it's anyone's guess who the you know, the go-to receivers are on this roster.
And one thing about last year, Belichick's last, the defense held up pretty well. And, you know, Mayo bumped ahead coach. DeMarcus Covington becomes the coordinator. The former Duck, Christian Gonzalez, went down early last year. Bigger role for second-year man, Keon White. You know, the defense absent, I guess I want to say, the longtime architect. You know, has it been tweaked, similar? What's the word about that side of the ball?
It's fairly similar, although to me, at least, you know, for what we saw over the summer in this first regular season game, it's a little bit more aggressive. I think this defense can keep them competitive, and I put it in my quote fingers when I say that, you know, relatively competitive. If they can keep them to, you know, 14 to 17 points, I think they're going to have a chance to be in every game. Look, last year, as bad as things got, they lost, I think it was 8 games by 7 points or less. And so if they had baseline competent quarterback play, maybe they win 3 of those things. They're 7-10 as opposed to 4-13. They don't get Drake May, and Bill Belichick is still here. So, you know, it really does continue to come down to the play of the defense. And I think the defense has shown with the guys, some of the guys that you mentioned, some of the younger guys, Keon White, Christian Gonzalez, who I think is poised for an excellent year. You know, those guys are going to be the next generation of leaders on this defense. Jabril Peppers, I think, has done very well. Kyle Duggar, Juwan Bentley. There's a lot of really good guys on all three levels of the New England Patriots defense. It's just going to be up to them, particularly, like I said, the younger guys, to be able to go out and execute it on a regular basis.
And lastly, of course, since the Malcolm Butler interception to win the Super Bowl after 2014, Seattle and New England have only met twice, not since COVID. So, you know, what's the word about the Seahawks? And, of course, speaking of, no longer guided by Pete Carroll, in prepping for this one, what's the word on the challenges this Seattle team presents?
Boy, no more Pete Carroll. That is it. You know, obviously he does have New England roots, too, in addition to his time in Seattle. So that's going to be different. Look, I'll say this. Seattle, the historical aspect that comes with the Patriots facing Seattle is always part of the conversation when you talk about one of these games. Regardless of where both of these teams are in the standings, their overall development, it's fun to go back and reminisce. Because for me, you know, for 3, 4, 5 years there, they only met on a handful of occasions, but every time they met, it was big boy football. You know, it was serious football. And I don't think we're going to see the game played on that level this Sunday, but I think it's going to be awful fun to go back and reminisce about some of those games between the Patriots and the Seahawks those years, and some of those games where, you know, Bill was involved, and some of those games, you know, Pete Carroll obviously has very deep roots in the New England franchise as well. So it is a new era when you talk about the on-field product, but it's also fun to look back and see where both of these teams and, you know, the coaching staff were and where they are now.
Yeah, I always say if you want to win a bunch of free Sam Adams outside of Boston, ask people who Bill Belichick replaced as the Patriots coach. And I bet you get a lot of freebies. Folks, he's Christopher Price, Boston Globe, keeping us wired into the Patriots. The podcast, part of the Believe Network, is the Patriots Report with former New England receiver Chris Hogan, online bostonglobe.com, on Twitter, at CPriceGlobe. Chris, I really appreciate the time, your great insight, Be well. Thanks a million. And I hope we could talk again down the road.
Definitely. Take care, and we'll talk again very soon, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.